Well, Lord, may the meditation of my lips and the words that we receive in our hearts be precious in your sight, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. You know, most of us are very conflict avoidant when it comes to discussing any differences in religions. I guess we've learned over the years that religion and politics are kind of touchy subjects. And therefore, most of the time, right or wrong, we keep our religious opinions to ourselves. And after all, Christ has called us to be peacemakers, to pray for our enemies, and to turn the other cheek. And so as Christians, it's natural that we never want to be argumentative or controversial. And so when we hear military metaphors being applied to Christianity, such as in the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, we become just a little nervous. When we hear the verse, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching off to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, maybe it brings to mind the Crusades during the Middle Ages, when Christians were enlisted to fight the infidels and to regain the Holy Land. Or maybe we have in the image of Christian soldiering the thought of lethal weapons and hand-to-hand combat. But for whatever reason, we find ourselves shying away from this militaristic admonition of Paul to his young pastor friend Timothy when he says to him, fight the good fight of faith. For in the past, we know that others have used such verses to justify real war. The image of fighting for your faith conjures up images of religious fanaticism, at least for us these days. And as Christians, we certainly don't want grouped in with those kinds of people who think they're doing God a favor by blowing up abortion clinics. For this reason, we may misinterpret Paul and this call to arms to fight the good fight and view it in a negative way. We may hear it, his militaristic tone, as some kind of call for a Christian jihad, for the use of physical aggression and force to advance the cause of Christianity. And frankly, I don't have to tell you that this thought horrifies us since 9/11. As Christians, we abhor the violence contained within radical Islam. We've seen how they use their religious convictions to justify terrorist acts of killing people in the name of Allah. And we want no part of any religion that does such things. That's why I think most of us would prefer to imagine the Christian life more as a journey rather than framing it as some kind of a fight. But then what do you do with Bible passages like this one where we are plainly told to fight the good fight? What do we do when God's word uses the language of warfare to describe certain aspects of Christian faith and life? For like it or not, my friends, Christians are in a fight. It's not a fight waged with missiles or mortar rounds or machine guns or mustard gas, and yet it is nonetheless still a fight. It's not a war that we can win with human anger or with any act of human aggression, and yet you, the Christian, are engaged in the battle of your life. And it's more than a battle to the death. It's a battle that will determine whether you and I will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And it should scare us to strategize how we are going to stay alive in Christ more than if literal bombs were dropping all around us. In another place in Scripture, the Apostle Paul will reiterate that this war is unconventional. That is, it's not fought like other battles are fought and won. For we Christians do not fight battles using earthly weapons, nor is our enemy easy to target. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We are not at war with people. Our fight is against every thought that would hold people captive to sin, every philosophy that would exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To put it simply, the church now finds itself in conflict with the spirit of the age. We are engaged in a war with demonic powers against worldly thoughts and against earthly temptations that all would seek to turn our hearts away from Christ. No Christian likes to fight. We are pacifistic people by nature. But haven't you learned from your own earthly existence that you don't have to be the aggressor to find yourself at war with someone if that person dislikes you? My dear friends in Christ, there is a spiritual battle being waged against you and against every baptized believer in Christ. And your heart and your mind are the battlefield. And reclaiming your soul is Satan's military objective. For the devil has declared war upon you and every other Christian. And his military purpose is to destroy your relationship with God and to kill the confidence and the joy and the hope that you now have in Christ. And you cannot simply choose to be Switzerland and to ignore the battle. For nothing and no one in this life is neutral. Every person's thoughts and words and actions do one of two things. They either promote Christ or they oppose him. Christ says it himself. He says, "You are either for me or against me." And likewise, the Apostle John says, "Don't you know that if you become friends with the world, you thereby become enemies with God?" My friends, the sides have been chosen. And God has chosen you from among this world to be spiritual soldiers in his army. Christ brought you out of spiritual darkness into the kingdom of light so that you could stand and fight for everything that is godly and noble and decent and good. And you are now in a life and death struggle against the powers of evil. And you will be until you receive that final furlough home to heaven. In your baptism, you were drafted into the Lord's army. It's too late for you to protest that you didn't know these things when you became a Christian. For the moment that you became a believer in Christ as your Savior, the devil, the world, and even your own sinful nature betrayed you and became your enemies. And my friends, their weapons are trained on you. Every Christian is a target of Satan. Sometimes Satan will use the ungodly philosophies of this age to attack our faith. And sometimes he will use the immorality that is so prevalent in our society. For the whole unbelieving world is under Satan's command and control, even though they do not know it. And Satan is even able to spy because he has a man on the inside who can infiltrate our defenses. For he is still able to arouse the sin that lives in us and use that to fight against us, to sabotage our determination to lead godly lives in Christ. Again, I want to reiterate, this is not a conventional war we are fighting. We are certainly not called to hate or to fight others in the way that you would think of as fighting. And yet our faith must fight against temptations of all kinds. Don't be deceived. Satan knows your personal weaknesses better than you do. And he knows how to exploit each of us where we are the most vulnerable. During your lifetime, you may have to employ faith as a weapon to fight off such sins as pride and presumption that would cause you to question God. You may be required to use your faith to fight against thoughts of depression and suicide. You may be called upon to fight off thoughts of personal past guilt, using the blood of Christ to remind you that you are truly forgiven and redeemed by God. But fight you will if you want to remain a Christian and reach heaven. Paul warned Timothy to use his faith to fight to be content with his life, reminding Timothy of this, that we bring nothing into this world and we can't carry anything out. In our materialistic age, we are still fighting the same urge to make money and luxury and wealth, to keep those things from being too important to us. And isn't it a constant fight to enjoy all the good things that God has given you and to use them wisely without letting your wealth distract you from God? It's so easy to begin to love money and material blessings more than the good and gracious God who gave us those things. This too is fighting the good fight of faith. As Christians, we have to constantly fight just to keep everything in balance in our lives, for often something isn't sinful unless we place too high a priority upon it. And so we are constantly fighting to keep God first in our lives when so many other things in life call for our attention and seek to become our priority. We struggle to keep ourselves free from the love of money, which Paul says plunges men into ruin and destruction. We fight to use our life and wealth wisely by helping the poor or by financially supporting the proclamation of the gospel, instead of simply self-indulging by spending everything we have upon ourselves. We all have different battles to fight. Some of us fight pride and vanity, while others of us fight against loneliness and despair. Some of us fight so as not to become too critical of others and to gossip about them, but instead to overlook their faults and love them in Jesus' name. Some of us fight against unresolved anger against our spouses and bitterness against those in our lives, a bitterness which acts like a corrosive that will eventually destroy our faith if we keep on hating others. Some battle against lust and sexual immorality that are so prevalent in our age, while others fight against worry and fear. Some Christians fight against caring too much about what others think about us, and sometimes that causes us to be anonymous Christians, while others fight against caring too little about their fellow man, living only for themselves instead of living lives of service for Christ. And so I hope you can see that Paul was not stirring young Timothy up to hate others, but only to hate evil and to oppose everything that is evil by doing good in Jesus' name. I hope you can see that our enemy, the devil, does not array himself in bright images and colorful uniforms on a battlefield where we can plainly see him as he advances against us. Satan does not afford us that luxury of aligning his demonic hordes into columns and ranks and files out in the open where we can successfully counter his assaults. But our enemy, the evil one, shoots at us from the shadows. The demonic powers of evil attacks Christians behind the physical realities of this life so that we cannot see his spiritual assault upon us. Too many Christians these days do not see how Satan infiltrates into our thoughts and our assumptions just by the culture that we live in. The majority cannot see how Satan steals into the churches to lead people away from Christ by false teachers and false teachings. Most modern believers cannot see how Satan has quite literally disarmed the church by calling into question the authority of Scripture. And so what happens is that many Christians these days kind of stroll merrily along through the battlefield of life with little or no concept of the dangers that are posed by walking through a war zone. It's like walking through a minefield without any indication of how deadly your next step could be. For the vast majority of modern Christians do not realize that we Christians are in a full-scale war and that all who believe in Jesus are under attack. Not by human armies, but by demonic forces, forces that influence and control the world. And so Paul called upon young Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, not with bloodshed or violence, but by making a good confession about Christ, of testifying to the truth of the Christian faith plainly stated in God's word. Just like Jesus, who confessed the truth of God's word before Pontius Pilate, we combat evil and unbelief when we stand up for Jesus and testify to others concerning him. When we proclaim his teachings in a world that opposes him and that believes there is no truth. When you confess the truth of Christ, and when you present a biblical worldview, you also give other Christians the courage to fight the good fight of faith. When we defend the truth of Christ and the Christian faith in the arena of public ideas, God also blesses us by strengthening our faith even as we are defending it for others. When people give up on believing that there is any such thing as theological truth or moral certainty, nations still fight, but they no longer know what they're fighting for. A generation ago, our grandparents and great-grandparents still believed in absolute truth drawn from the Bible. And that World War II generation still knew right from wrong. They could still differentiate good from evil. And they went to war against Adolf Hitler with the solid conviction that they were on moral high ground and that they were in this war to save the world from evil and tyranny. Since then, we have lost that concept of right and wrong, of good and evil. And that's why our nation no longer has the stomach for war, Just look at Vietnam or Iraq. Because without a spiritual and moral compass to guide us, we no longer know what is and is not worth fighting for. And so I would suggest that the church has turned into kind of the spiritual equivalent of Neville Chamberlain, who, when he was the Prime Minister of Britain during World War II or in the days leading up to the invasion of Poland, wanted to placate and to pacify this dictator. Instead of confronting our culture, we Christians now attempt to pacify the culture and peacefully coexist with it and their unchristian assumptions. My friends, I believe God would have you and I to be more like Winston Churchill, that great British Prime Minister who would not back down to Hitler and always would stand his ground against that bully. In many quarters of the church has become less and less certain of the truth of Scripture. And by that happening, it's lost its capacity to condemn sin by using the law, to comfort sinners with the gospel, and contend for the faith using the Bible. And when the church loses its nerve to condemn sin within society, it also loses the power to comfort society with the certainty of God's forgiveness for all in Christ. This, my friends, is why God wants you to fight the good fight, to confess the truth about Jesus Christ to our unbelieving world. For you must combat unbelief by proclaiming Jesus and the Christian faith with biblical certainty and with deep conviction. You must fight the good fight of faith so that others too can lay hold of the eternal life to which Christ has called them. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't start fights, but by the same token, don't back down when evil and unbelief assault Christ and the Scriptures. For by defending the faith, you will be witnessing to Christ, who is the light and the life of this world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.